Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius. He scores! He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here's Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pick and Pod on this fine Wednesday afternoon. I'm Izzy Randazzo, joined by my co-hosts Maggie Danahy and Bradley Byrne. How are we feeling, guys?
I'm good. It's warming up out there, slowly, not enough. But
slowly but surely.
It's happening. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I have no classes today, so that's, I guess, something to look forward to. And sadly, the Knicks did lose yesterday. I had to unfortunately watch that game in person because I was beat reporting for WFUV Sports. But like you guys said, it is warming outside. I'm just glad it's not, you know, freezing like it was the other day.
We're up, guys. We might be back, I think, in February. So where should we start? I think we should definitely start with the sinister air that was Monday night of the NBA. So we had two pretty significant brawls. We had Pistons, Hornets, and Timberwolves, Hawks. Now, for the Pistons, Hornets, it was Musa Diabate and Jalen Duren. And then Isaiah Stewart, Beef Stew, ran out onto the court.
What are you doing?
Yeah, it was definitely a sight to see. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, honestly, like, what are we doing? Like, this is, you know, you're going to get ejected. You know you're going to get suspended. It's a tight game for the Hornets against one of the top teams in the entire association. And you're going to, like, do that and get ejected, get suspensions, like, and just, like, what's going on?
What are we up to? Yeah, so Isaiah Stewart, Jalen Duren, Bridges, and Diabate were suspended for a few games each because of that brawl, which is definitely, it's not ideal. It's like, why are we beefing right now? Why are we beefing with Beef Stew?
I see what you did there with Beef Stew.
Right? That just, you know.
I know, he's suspended for seven. Why would you leave the bench?
And the seven games that he's missing are very important.
Yeah.
Seven games are the Raptors in Toronto, the Knicks in New York, then they got the Bulls, Spurs, Thunder, Cavs, and Magic that Beef Stew is missing all seven of those games. And those are huge games that the at the Pistons need to win, because obviously with no Isaiah Stewart, the Pistons are going to have to turn to Paul Reed, who obviously isn't 7 foot like Duren and Beef Stew are. So if they can manage to, you know, get Duren out of the game and get Paul Reed in, teams are going to have a field day with going up against Paul Reed.
Yeah, definitely. Honestly, I feel like Beef Stew's got a little bit of Draymond Green in him. He's
yeah,
kind of pulling some Draymond vibes.
There's just no need to ever leave the bench to get involved, because you know how hefty that suspension is going to be.
And evidently it is.
Like, yeah.
It's, you know.
But I feel like with Draymond Green, I feel like 50% of the things he does is sometimes an accident. Like, Beef Stew intentionally will, like...
And then just, like, he didn't even, like, push him. Like, he punched him. He was throwing hands.
Oh, they were, yes.
They were squaring 100%. Up. It was very excessive.
I do think the two games for Duren is a little too soft for the guy who started the whole thing.
I agree.
Yeah, honestly.
It should have been more like five, honestly, if I'm thinking about it. Because, like, putting your hand on another man's face and, like, pushing his face, basically,
yeah,
that should warrant more than a two-game suspension.
I agree, but also, I don't know how to say his name.
Diabate.
Diabate. Mm-hmm. His reaction was so excessive. Like, he was out of control. Like, throwing himself, like, having a level 10 tantrum.
I don't blame him, because getting, like, pushed and slapped in the face is so much more disrespectful than getting punched. Like, I'd rather punched in the face three times than get slapped once. Being slapped is so much more disrespectful.
I agree, but it was insane. Like, it was insane.
That's definitely true, guys. What do we think about the Timberwolves-Hawks brawl, where Naz Reid, who we don't really see getting angry very often, I feel like he's more of a chiller, he's more, you know, kind of nonchalant on the court, he got an altercation with Muhammad Gay.
Also, he tripped. Like, it wasn't really, like, a foul. Like, he was one that just kind of, I'm watching it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Yeah, I mean, he just kind of tripped over his foot. And then, yeah, I don't know why he got so mad.
Sometimes tensions just rise in the NBA, I think. Definitely like a less severe brawl than the Pistons Hornets, but I feel like it was definitely still notable, especially on the same night within like, I don't know, 45 minutes of each other. I feel like there, like I said, there was something in the air that night.
Just some, I guess something was in the water in Minnesota that night. I saw, I don't know if this is a fake report or not, but Naz Reid is expected to get hit with a fine, not a suspension, but a fine. So okay. At least he won't be suspended like the other guys were in the other fight.
I feel like just
I
because
feel
of the
like
severity.
He should be.
You think he should be suspended rather than fined?
I didn't see the full clip. Did he
Let
like throw a punch? Or...
No.
No.
He no. Didn't. They both had each other's jerseys and like
wouldn't okay,
let go.
Then that's probably, you know, just a petty little fine and, you know, a
yeah.
warning probably.
But watch.
Okay.
And it keep.
Okay, yeah. As long as there was no like punches or like, you know, shoving, I don't think there should be a suspension for that.
I agree.
If Nasri was to like, you know, like, you know, remember what Amen Thompson did to Tyler Hero? Where he slammed him to the ground? That should warrant a suspension.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, yes. How could we forget?
But I feel like Gay should also get fined, if that's true.
I think Nasri did a little more, though.
No, mm-hmm. But Reed was pretty calm until he started, it
I think
seems.
If,
I don't know.
If because Nasri, I do think, did a little bit mm-hmm. more than Gay did. I think Nasri should be fined a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
maybe like $10,000 apart. I don't think that's too big. And also, Nasri's making $1 billion more than
serious.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah.
So I don't think, you know, the fine for him is gonna matter. But
I agree.
A lot of fines recently in the NBA. Honestly, like I was at the Bulls Nets game a few nights ago, and Bulls Colin Sexton flipped off the rim for some reason. Did you guys see that?
I saw the clip of Jaden Ivey with the dribble. You guys have ever seen that? Where like Jaden Ivey's like, you know, in 2K, where if you hold left trigger, you're like protecting the ball. He's just like this. The entire
yeah.
I mean, like I don't know. I think a fine's kind of harsh, but also like, why do that? Like, just
I don't
like,
know.
What's the point?
Like, it's a good question. Yeah,
I think it's like kind of funny, but also you know that they're gonna get on you for that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's just unnecessary. Like,
what's that going to do?
Honestly, like, what are you hoping to obtain?
You just upset in the moment. You can't blame him.
But also,
made
they
the
really
free throw. I was so confused.
Wait, he made the free throw and then flipped off?
Yes.
The
it's like,
why are you going to do that? What's it going to do? But also, like, are you really going to find somebody for that? I see both sides.
I mean, yeah. They did capture on TV.
They
so
did.
I'm sure
oh,
I'm
sure it's that. Yeah.
I'm sure they're incurred fine, but I mean, did he like miss a shot before that, or was it just random?
Like one of two. Or?
I honestly can't remember, but he did make the shot, and then he flipped the rim off. So I don't
maybe
know.
It was just a frustrating night. Maybe he had something going on before the game, and it was just upset.
Yeah,
he didn't
take
his anger out in the hoop.
That was a tough game for the Bulls, honestly, because especially having their basically entire roster be altered and having most of our players be traded, I feel like, you know, tensions are running high, and it's
yeah,
not maybe the
sure.
best energy for the Bulls right now. But yeah, let's talk about how Wemby dropped 40 points in 26 minutes last night.
What is going on?
I mean, to be fair, there was no Luka, no LeBron, no Austin Reeves. Do we have...
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we're hearing from our producer that Jeremy Sohan just got released from the Spurs.
I just saw the Shams tweet.
My gosh. Okay, can you read it? Can you read what Shams said?
Let's see.
Our guy, he's always here. Shams.
The San Antonio Spurs and forward Jeremy Sohan have agreed on his release to allow the 2023 all-rookie team member to become a free agent. Just tell ESPN, Sohan is expected to decide among multiple interested teams. He was actually... I was talking to one of my friends who's a Knicks fan before I hopped on the show. Jeremy Sohan is one of the guys I want on the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's a Knicks man myself. You can see by the jersey. The Knicks need some front court, or not front court, like wing depth in particular, because outside of, you know, wing stop, it's really, you know, Kevin McCullough, Mo Diawara, and I don't even know who else, to be honest with you. That's pretty much it. So I would love to get Jeremy Sohan off waivers for sure.
That's really interesting. Wow, some live updates from our producer, Travis Hayden. Shout out, Travis. Yeah, this is, I feel like the Spurs team is really interesting, and I feel like with the powerhouse that is Wemby, he's just driving this team.
And I think what, like, where we're seeing this from Wemby is they've just got him such a great supporting cast mm-hmm. that, like, now, like, it just, it's all clicking. I mean, I know, but, you know.
Yeah, you know.
I don't even know what
I do think the Spurs, obviously with the whole Giannis rumors coming up in the summer, I do think mm-hmm. the Spurs should not trade for Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Spurs and the Knicks are in that same boat where you have such a good team now. Trading for Giannis and getting rid of those really good like pieces, around, like for example, the Knicks getting rid of pieces around Brunson or the Spurs getting rid of pieces around Wemby is going to hurt the team more because mm-hmm. obviously Giannis is kind of ball dominant. You know, he's averaging 30-plus points per game and mm-hmm. I feel like that'll take away from Wemby's production as well as everyone else's. And the Spurs have a lot of young talent.
That's what I was just going to say. They have a very young team. And then, I mean, like, you saw it with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum on the Celtics. You got to give that some time to gel because mm-hmm. when they, you know, and if like, you got to give it a few seasons mm-hmm. when you have such a strong young team like that so that they can just get comfortable with each other. You don't want to just keep shaking it up and having people go in and out because just sometimes that could be worse.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I feel like most of the time, like if we take the Bulls, for example, them getting rid of a lot of their core players has completely dismantled the rest of the energy on the team. If you compare it to like the Nets, who have so much new talent this year and aren't really like at the trade deadline, they didn't really trade that many players. They didn't really make that many moves other than waiving, I think it was Cam Thomas. Yeah. That's a team that I can see growing it like growing together as a team and developing as a team, and I feel like they could really make some moves as the seasons go on. Not right now, obviously, they're not doing very hot, but as they grow together and they sort of build that chemistry, I could definitely see that.
The Bulls just traded for too many guards, and
they did
their entire core. They got no first round picks for LaVine, mm-hmm. DeRozan, Vucevic, Alex Caruso, nobody. They just got a whole bunch of seconds and a whole bunch of guards. I don't know what direction the Bulls are. At least the Nets have a direction. They may suck, but they still have direction compared to the Bulls.
There's really no direction. As a Chicagoan, as a Bulls fan, this is like genuinely heartbreaking. Because
and I'm loving Vucevic in my Celtics.
And
it's really fitting in
there. I'm happy he's there. I'm happy he's gotten a better team to play with, honestly, because he is such a great player, I think. I mean, he is like Unk a little bit. But
I know, 36. But we did need a little bit of that experience, especially after losing Al Horford, who was like our vet, like our core. Like, I mean, I would say that Derek White and Jaylen Brown have kind of become like pretty seasoned veterans, but just have somebody that's, you know, been on other teams and, you know.
All right, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the All-Star game. All-Star weekend is this weekend. How are you feeling about that?
I was looking at the dunk contest participants and I don't want to hate, like, I hated a little bit of Mac McClung the past few years. I don't think a G Leaguer should be participating in an NBA event, but
just got signed to the Bulls.
This might be the worst dunk contest of all time.
That's
after this weekend.
Very good point, honestly. I'm never really amazed by the dunk contest.
Like, the whole thing, like, we'll see. Like, we'll see.
It's just so many dunks are
how
just
much, the whole weekend, we'll see how seriously they take it and how entertaining it is, because I have very low expectations personally.
I feel like now dunks are just stolen and put a slight twist on it, and then everyone acts like it's a whole brand new dunk when, like, for example, I saw this side-by-side clip of one of the dunks Mac McClung did, I think, 2 years ago, and Victor Oladipo did the same dunk when he was in the dunk contest, and people act like Mac McClung created a whole new dunk
mm-hmm.
when he stole half of his dunks from Victor Oladipo and JaVale McGee. I was impressed with Mac McClung. Obviously, congratulations on winning, was it three dunk contests he won? Or two?
It's definitely two. I don't know if
I know
it's
at least two, but
yeah. Because he won last year. I think, right?
Exactly. What Travis just said. Nothing stopping 2018. But I'm just not really, I don't even know if I'm going to watch the dunk contest, honestly. It might just be like the part where I, you know, do some homework, maybe do a meeting for a class.
Yeah, honestly, opt out.
Also, such,
I'm getting a thumbs down from Travis. I'm not watching the dunk contests.
I don't think I will either. Sorry, Travis.
I might take a nap, honestly.
Honestly, yeah, recharge for the
last event, I can, you know, head to bed early.
Honestly, yeah, that's true.
Such an interesting three-point Pontus.
Damian Lillard's in it, which I'm shocked about. He has a torn Achilles.
That's what I'm...
Yeah. Like, what's going on?
Like, why is he even eligible, in my opinion? Like, if you're not playing in the season...
Yeah.
Like, Jason Tatum can't just, like, come do a three-point contest, as much as I'd love to see that. I mean, but,
Tatum
like,
could probably do it.
I'm sure he could do it. I'm sure Dame can do it. But, like...
You should.
But, like, should you?
You shouldn't be eligible if you're not... If you haven't done anything in the season, it should be based off your season performance.
That's true.
And what if Dame gets hurt?
Why are they letting him? Like, as the team, as the health staff of the Trailblazers, I almost forgot that he got traded.
It happens. Honestly, I did too.
Like, why is Portland like, no way would Brad Stevens or Joe Mazzulla ever allow Tatum to do that?
No. They would in a million be like, years.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Why is he risk? I don't know. I just don't think, and I know me and Izzy have had this conversation off camera multiple times, but like, you know, LeBron missing, like, is it based off of season performances? Is it based off of lifetime? Is it a little bit of both? But I think for him, he's earned a little bit of both. He's not, right? He's not in
LeBron.
Is he not starting?
No, he's not. And that's
LeBron's a reserve, but I don't think he's participating.
Oh, okay. I doubt it.
But me and Izzy had this talk a few weeks ago of like, you know, is it fair based off of his season performances before anything came out, like to make him an all-star? Is it based off of what he's done for the game? Does he just get kind of an automatic bid? And we both kind of were like in the middle of like, maybe it's a little bit of both. I think he's a very like, individual case, but like, anyway, what I'm saying is like that Dame in the three-point contest makes no sense. Like, you it is based off of, look at, everyone has their stats and he has nothing.
Point it could zero, just be like zero, a rehab, rebound, like zero. A practice assignment maybe to get some shooting in.
Honestly, I really feel like it's just for entertainment. Like, this is not,
I agree,
for,
but
like,
you never, no. I don't know, it just, I'm sure there's another person around the league that has better three-point numbers than Dame to go and do the three-point contest that's actually proven it this season. We've seen Dame prove it in his career, obviously.
100%, yeah.
Like that, but it is the 2026 NBA All-Star game. If you've not played in the 25-26 season, how are you eligible to partake in the event?
I think eligibility for three-point contest is just the league reaching out. That's probably what it is. It's probably, game requirement, like...
Yeah.
Tatum could probably, if Tatum was,
if he wanted invited, to, I'm sure he
probably,
could, yeah.
He probably could do it. Tyrese Haliburton could maybe even do it.
Probably, yeah.
I know that they can. I don't think that they should.
It's a whole,
be able
it's a money
though.
Thing, you know. If Dame being in it will help it a lot more.
But there's nobody else across the league that would like. Why isn't Steph doing it?
Steph is not going to be participating. He's out through the All-Star break with injury, but
he is injured.
It's also like Steve players could just be saying no. Like, they could just be getting invited saying no, I don't
want
to participate.
No, I don't want to.
Out of that many, I don't know. I could go on forever.
Players like to go on vacation. Maybe they don't want to, be stuck participating in a 3-point contest.
They want to go to Cancun.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Sure. Also, nobody, but there are players that have to play in the game. None of them could do it.
Yeah.
I don't think they should be able to, personally. Like, if you haven't participated in the season that the All-Star game is going to be in, you should not be able to participate in the All-Star weekend.
I think it's a good take.
I think it's fair.
You know who I am excited to see participate in All-Star weekend? Shams.
That's what I was just going to say.
In the celebrity game. Guys, this is huge.
I don't know why they put him on Team Giannis. He might get traded before.
get traded. Maybe, honestly. Who else do we have for the celebrity game? We have Keegan Michael Key.
There are some people like there. That,
there are some people. Like, got Jeremy Lin.
Knicks legend Jeremy Lin.
That's kind of crazy, guys. Who else?
I don't know why Taco Fall is participating. He's gonna have a field day. Literally, all you have to do is just pass the ball to Taco Fall, and he just places it in the hoop.
Dude, it's perfect. Light. Cody Jones. That you mean?
Glorilla. Y'all, I love Glorilla.
Why is Taylor Frankie Paul there? Like, what are we doing?
Honestly, like, I think the celebrity game is so funny. It's just like, what are we doing?
It's just like, it's just lowlights.
It is. Except for Shams. I love Shams.
Shams is not going to play.
You don't think so?
Giannis is not going to go to play.
You don't, why?
Why does Giannis so? Not like Shams?
Because the Shams and like the whole thing of just like him,
that's
like clickbaiting us on Twitter.
That's Shams' job though. That he's NBA.
Is his job telling us to like, he literally said, don't sleep. And like, Giannis is might get traded. And then all these, like, you know, on Twitter, like the SportsCenter clips and stuff like that. And did you guys see the Bucks on Twitter? They posted a clip of Doc Rivers saying that we're looking into trading Shams for the celebrity game or something like that.
To be fair, Giannis did make the most of this to just not just to leave at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, he really, like, then he was injured for 2 weeks, and then he was like, so as much as I love him, he really did low-key drag it a bit.
He did. I agree completely. I feel like that's fair to say. It's objective.
And then I'm sure Shams was like, all right, like, let's wrap it up. But he kept putting this thing on that he's going to leave.
It was dragged out for so long.
And
I knew he wasn't going to get traded.
I knew he wasn't either. He's not going to go in the middle of the season. And I don't know. So I honestly feel bad for Shams for how much he had to report on that for a whole lot of nothing.
No sleep for our boy Shams. Yeah. if we look at the Rising Stars roster, you guys want to pull that up and we can
I think Team Carmelo is going to win with ease. I don't know how, like...
I disagree.
Carmelo by far drafted the best team.
Wait, honestly.
I think Vince Carter's team or T-Mac's team could be really good. I'm just like a Matas Buzelis lover, so maybe that's why I'm a little bit biased.
Where are the rosters?
It's right here. It's on the
NBA website. I keep clicking on it. Oh, okay.
I need to see, like, the draft order. Here it is. Cooper Flagg went one.
We're not surprised.
I don't know how.
Team Mello's going to win.
I don't know how Stephon Castle fell.
So, that's not even close. He has the first two picks. And Stephen Castle.
But if we look at Vince Carter's team, we got Matas Buzelis, Cedric Coward, Yegor Diomen, VJ Edgecombe, Kashawn George, Derek Queen, and Jalen Wells. I feel like that's goated.
Okay, but you have the best rookie from this class, the best rookie from last class. You also have Dylan Harper, who I think is
the second best rookie in this class. Maybe Khan.
I think Khan is the second best. But if you put Dylan Harper on
a team like the Hornets where he could be the star.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
You put Dylan Harper on the Spurs where, you know, he has Wemby and a big team. But if, like, he was traded to the Hornets and was, like, the star player or one of the top players, like, we don't know. Maybe he would shine the way Khan is, but...
Honestly, that's fair. I think if you reverse Dylan Harper and Khan Kanipola, maybe Dylan Harper is playing like Khan Kanipola if you, I guess, reverse it. I see what you're saying. That's fair.
Like, you sent him to the Kings. Like, he might be dominating.
Oh, Khan Kanipola averaged, like, 30 on the Kings.
Do you guys think Cooper is going to win Rookie of the Year?
I think Khan probably should win it.
I agree.
But I think Cooper's going to win it.
That's a great take. I agree.
Just because, you know, Cooper, number one pick, went to Duke. Obviously, Khan Kanipola also went to Duke, but it's just, you know, number one pick, Dallas Mavericks.
You also have to look at the success of the team.
That's true.
The Hornets are doing pretty well, but
surprisingly, when
you put a player on a team like the Hornets, you're giving them a very big platform to shine. If you put them on the Spurs or the Mavericks, you're putting them into a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether or not Luka got traded doesn't matter. The Mavs are a powerhouse. Like, that's, like, they had
Mavs
AD.
Are-
They
Not
had,
a powerhouse.
When he was traded, they had AD. They
No, when Cooper Flagg was drafted, everybody was basically already injured for the most part. It was really just Derek Lively, Gafford, and PJ Washington. Everyone just got injured.
But it is a just different organization than I'm like. The Hornets are such a, like, individual team. They're in a city that is like no other sports. Like, it just
I think Dallas is a bigger market than Charlotte.
Yeah.
I would say.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like more to prove yourself on that, like, team in that stage, I think.
On that level.
Could be a...
Yeah. But I guess it's also, like, a narrative. Like, you know, you trade for Luka... Or you trade Luka away for, you know, a box of cookies and Anthony Davis. And
then
you somehow get the number one pick. It's just... It's all the awards are narrative-based.
But that's, like, the Mavs are coming off of a finals run two years prior.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Hornets haven't even... been in the playoffs.
But the Mavericks having the Rookie of the Year is just adding to that narrative of the Mavericks trading away Luka, and then
it is
getting, it's all the awards are narrative based. Like, SGA should not have won MVP last year. It should have been Jokic. Same with Embiid. It's all narrative based.
Bradley, that's a take. Let's unpack this immediately.
I think Jokic should have 5 MVPs. I don't think Embiid deserves his. I don't think floppers and foul beaters deserve an MVP. That's why I don't think SGA.
So then Jalen Brunson shouldn't be MVP?
Oh, Brunson's not a flopper.
Let's this just year? I don't think Jalen Brunson's going to win MVP.
No, I know, but have you asked a Knicks fan who they think should be MVP? They'll tell you Brunson.
Well, yes,
I think Jokic, until he becomes ineligible. Because at the end of the day, he's averaging a triple-double.
But then why didn't they make it to the finals?
It's a regular season award.
Oh, that's actually fair. But
that's true.
The moment Jokic becomes ineligible, then I'll say SGA is MVP. But right now, averaging a triple-double.
But is he? Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, only two of the players have averaged. Like, that's why I think Russ should have won MVP over James Harden, because of the triple-double aspect. I also just don't really like James Harden, but that's a different conversation.
Why don't you like James Harden?
I just don't like... I don't like the high... I just don't like the high free throw counts, the 5.8 turnovers a game. Yes, he averaged 40, but I'm just not... I just don't like James Harden.
You gotta look at
they literally made
aspects.
A whole... They literally made a rule because James Harden was manipulating the rules. I just don't like players that, you know, have to...
I just can't... A Knicks fan saying... Talking about floppers is just...
Low key, that's
like Jalen Brunson. Like
Brunson actually gets hit in the face. That's the thing. SGA should be in Hollywood. At least Brunson's actually getting hit in the face. Yes, it looks like he's flopping with the head snapping and stuff like that.
The crying from Brunson, the whining constantly. It's him and SGA are literally the same.
No, I
don't like them either. But I do think SGA should have won MVP in my opinion.
You think SGA should have won MVP last year?
Yeah,
over a guy averaging a triple-double, which only two players in NBA history have done.
Yeah, but let's what was the Nuggets' record last season?
Okay, it's a team sport.
But that but if you're that good, you should be able to carry like your...
When Jokic was on the floor, the Nuggets were the best offense in the NBA. And then when he came off, they were statistically the worst offense. He had, I think he added like 12-plus points or whatever when he was on the court, and the Nuggets were like 15 points worse when he was off the court. That's like a... I'm not a math major. 27 points win. But I just value averaging a triple-double a lot higher than averaging 32 points on 10 free throws. I don't know. That's just me.
That's a really good point. I do think Shea should have won, but I don't want him to win this year.
Oh, me neither. Like, oh, my
really
gosh. I hate the Thunder. Me neither.
Yeah, I'm not a big,
I do, too.
I'm not a big SGA person. I like Jokic, like, so much more, obviously. Like, how can you not be a Jokic fan? But, yeah, I do think that he maybe just also just the narrative. Like, I do, it's also obviously a narrative award, like, that's known. So, like, having this the youngest team or whatever their stat was of them being all young, and like, it was always going to go to him, like, stats wise. Does it always go to the best player? Clearly not. Like,
I mean,
stats wise.
Goes to the best player this year. If let's just say Jokic goes ineligible. Yeah, I'd say Wemby over SGA.
He's 100%.
Just stay, his only thing is just staying healthy enough.
Wemby he's only is... like four games away from becoming ineligible himself, too. And even then, even as a Knicks fan, I would give it to Cade over SGA, honestly. Just because the Pistons are the, you know, the are the one seed, you know, they've gotten a whole lot, as much as I hate the Pistons.
Is Jokic ineligible?
If he misses... Two more games. He can only miss one more game.
Yeah.
So, like, essentially, unless he stays,
he's healthy. He's not.
And even SGA is, you know, out with an abdominal for quite a bit. So, that could also.
And Wemby, he's not going to last.
No, I don't think
so.
I would love to see him win MVP.
I know, but
he's one of my favorite players in the NBA.
100%. I just don't know if he's ever going to meet the eligibility in a season with this, like, injuries and. That which is unfortunate, but hopefully he can.
I'd probably also give it to Maxey or Luka over SGA too, just because Maxey's averaging
Tyrese Maxey. Oh my god,
he's crazy,
and I hate the Sixers too. And I'd probably give it to Maxey over SGA.
You know who I'm surprised is not a rising star? That's kind of crazy to me.
Who
you know who I'm gonna say?
Do I? Wait,
VJ Edgecombe.
He is.
He is?
He's on Team Vince.
He is, yeah.
Where? What am I looking at?
No, he's here. He's on the team with Modest Muzelis. He's on Team Vince.
He was the third overall pick.
Yeah. He's with Cedric Coward, Jaeger Diomen, Modest Muzelis, and
just go to
some
NBA's
other guys.
Website.
I didn't. It wouldn't, like, show up.
No, he's here. Look. He's here.
When I...
Oh, it's probably loading. But yeah, see?
Okay, he's thank here. God. Guys, I was worried for a second.
He's goated. I really, really do like him.
I really like VJ Edgecombe.
I'm fond.
I was very worried for a second.
He cooked the Knicks in the garden.
Yeah.
When I was beat reporting, he cooked the Celtics the Knicks. Too.
He likes to cook everyone, it seems.
His first game, I think their first game was against the Celtics this season. I'm not sure. One of the first games. Mm-hmm. I just knew he was the third pick. I don't really watch that much college basketball. Yeah. Unless it's March Madness.
Fair enough.
Didn't expect much, you know. Rookie starting. We'll see. I was in awe. He literally, let me see what his stats were for that game.
I think he's the third best rookie. I'd probably say Khan number one, Cooper number two. They probably say
I
DJ
said
three.
That. I don't know where. Maybe it was on 101 like 2 weeks ago, and they like cooked me for
that
it.
That Khan is the best?
No, that VJ Edgecombe should be talked about in the top rookies.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I agree with three. Your ranking.
And I think I that he should. I don't think he should win Rookie of the Year. I do think that it's fair to consider him in that conversation.
Yes.
And that's what I said. Like, he should be in that conversation. They were like, what?
Like, even being considered is such an honor because, like, he is. I don't think that he's as good as Khan. He's definitely not as good as Cooper. But like,
I
he
think
is,
him and Dylan deserve some consideration.
I'd probably take VJ over Dylan, though.
I would too. Just because of his role on the team is much more. But again, like, I'm going to advocate for Dylan Harper. Playing on the Spurs is obviously not an easy place to be. He'd probably be starting in 70% of NBA teams, probably even more than that. If he's anywhere else, I would say that he's maybe starting. Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe he just hasn't been given the opportunity that those other guys have just because of where he was drafted. So I just would include him in conversations. Again, not somebody I would put in a final two, not somebody I think is going to win it, but I do think that those four deserve to be talked about.
Yes.
100%.
So what do we, for the Rising Stars, who do we think is going to win? Do we think
it's
going to
be?
My
pick, Team Melo, yeah.
Okay.
Anyone for
is
Team
he Melo is going to dominate?
No, he's not.
Okay,
Modest Buzelis is going to dunk on all of your players.
If Modest Buzelis was on Team Melo or Team T-Mac, you'd be taking either one of them over Team Vince Carter.
Honestly, I wouldn't. I wouldn't because I feel like Team Vince is just like stacked. I mean, the other teams are too, of course, but like honestly, I don't think T-Mac is going to do very well. Like other than Khan and Trey Johnson,
we. Off topic, you want to know what I was looking at? I don't even know what year it is. I was looking at 2025 and Stephon?
Yeah.
I think it's
Castle,
Stephon, yeah.
His name is first, and so then I just assumed that was it. And I don't know why it took me so long to realize that nobody else. I was looking at the wrong year, guys. And I just saw that his name was there. And yeah. It's been a long week.
Vince Carter, Team Vince is going to win. What do we think? Let's make some predictions for the actual, like, all-star, like, USA world competition. Who do we think is gonna win?
Because
it looks
the world.
I gotta pull
let me investigate this.
Yeah, let me pull it up. I just said that without any.
So the world, the world has Giannis, Denny, Avida.
No Giannis. It's Sengun. Oh, not Sengun. Oh my gosh.
He's also on.
Why can't I see the rosters anywhere? What is going on?
If you go on Yahoo Sports, should be there. Okay. That's what I'm looking at. I still can't believe that. What do you call it for the world? I'm trying to lose my train of thought.
Happens.
Okay.
It's also been a long week. I was just about to say someone should have been also for Team World, and now I don't. Oh no, my Sengun replaced it. Okay, never mind.
Sengun has been crazy. He's really been like,
how does
such
it
a
work?
Fun player to watch.
There's three teams.
There is yeah.
Yeah
so there's.
Two. I hate the new format. I'm sorry. I hate it.
It's messed up.
Is it like round robin?
So
kind of.
There's no like championship
game? No, there is. Oh. There is. So let me look at the exact schedule so I can quote this bar for bar.
But also they could have easily made two. Wait.
Well, okay. So for Sunday, February 15th, so we have the NBA G League next up game, and then we have All-Star Game 1, which is Stars versus World, and then All-Star Game 2, Stripes versus the winner of Game 1, and then third game is Stripes versus the Game 1 loser, and then the fourth game is the All-Star Championship.
I think it should just go back to East versus West, and then, you know, two guards, two forwards, and a center for the starters, and then...
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Also, like, why are there nine players on the two U.S. teams? Like,
there's nine?
There's nine each.
Wait, there's one. Two.
And there's eight on the Stars, and there's nine on Stripes.
Because Steph Curry's included on the U.S. Oh, no, wait.
Wait, no, you're but right, either no, eight or nine, that's too small. These players are going to get overloaded.
Oh, right, because they pick too many USA players. So, and oh, my gosh, that's so dumb. Another reason why I hate the format.
Like, you're going to overplay them in an All-Star game?
So Shea is injured. He's not going to play?
No, he's not playing. Neither is Steph and LeBron. Neither is Giannis and probably not LeBron.
Okay. Giannis isn't... Giannis is injured, right? Okay.
I think if Team Stripes was fully healthy, I'd probably take them.
And Jokic is...
I would too. Oh,
he's not injured anymore.
Just because you got you got KD, LeBron, and Steph.
If LeBron...
it says under their names, injured will not play injured.
Yeah, Steph is injured.
Okay, wait. So that's why there's 9 on U.S. Stripes, because Brandon Ingram is injury replacement for Steph.
Yeah, which I think should have been Mikal Bridges.
But I think Mikal will get in there for Mikal
is
LeBron.
Better in every single statistic.
I hate the Knicks more than anything in my life. OG Anunoby.
You're still mad about the semifinals. I mean, I don't blame you, but...
many championships have we won in the time that you haven't?
Probably quite a few. Not probably, definitely quite a few.
But... Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, I will always be big fans of them.
Because
Josh Hart.
Because Mikal Bridges
is a fan of all three.
He's the fourth. Mikal is the fourth option for the Knicks. Mike Brown uses OG probably more than Mikal. Mm-hmm. Mikal's better at every single statistics besides points and rebounds. And that's not me being biased. I check the stats.
No, I agree.
And Brandon Ingram is the second option on the Raptors and is getting outplayed by the Knicks' fourth option.
Yeah. I think OG and Mikal were 100% snubbed.
Yes.
Wow.
100%. Like, honestly,
I should clip this. A Celtics fan praising Knicks.
Really, I would honestly maybe consider putting one of them in over Cat.
Wow.
No. Because for Team World, you need the amount of players.
Wait, maybe.
That's true.
Because Cat is...
Well, if it was not this format, I would...
I think the Knicks should get three players. But
I do, too.
Bias.
But it's because of the format.
Because the Cavs last year got three players, which I think they only should have got one. I don't think Darius Garland and Evan Mobley deserve to be All-Stars, really, but that's maybe
it's also
my
bias.
It's
also just because of the format.
I don't disagree. I do not disagree with that.
It's not because of the format that Cat got in. Like, that, not at all. Like, he deserves it.
Yeah.
But if it was East versus West and the Knicks got two players, I do think you would have to consider the three of them for that second spot.
If the Knicks only got two players, probably yes, but if they got more than two players, then obviously you have
Cat,
to put...
Yeah, 100%. But I do think if it was East versus West and the Knicks got two players, obviously Brunson, and then you would have to have a conversation with OG, Bridges, and
it's also just Cat. Norman Powell and Jalen Duren should not be there. I'm just being honest. Are you taking Norman Powell over OG and Anobi or Josh? Or not Josh?
Never.
I'm not. I just think it's so interesting how the Pistons are doing so well. That's why, obviously, Cade is...
Also, Jalen Johnson has worse statistics than Mikal Bridges and OG and Anobi. I just want to put that on the record as well.
The voting is sometimes
I hate the vote. I hate
the voting
the
is sometimes
works.
Corrupt.
I don't think fans should be 50%. I think it should be 33 1/3 for each. Instead of... Obviously, it's supposed to be an event for the fans, but 50% for the fans, I think, is a lot.
I agree. I feel like a lot of the time the fans, they
also
don't really take into consideration a lot of the stats and, how they're actually performing.
Because it's a popularity contest.
Also,
it is,
Chet?
A lot of the time.
Like, really?
I was just looking at that, and Chet, I had the same thing.
I also don't like
Okie. We don't like Chet here?
No, but, why? Why him?
I'm actually shocked. I actually agree with Charles Barkley, which for me is surprising. I think Dylan Brooks honestly should have been an All-Star.
Yeah.
I just also don't like Danny Avdija and the way he plays, so that's why I'd probably take Dylan Brooks.
I think he's been playing really well this season, though.
Who, Denny?
Yeah.
Denny's played really, really well. I just don't... For me, I don't like the way he plays.
Okay.
But that's also, once again, just...
Norman Powell is actually... I didn't even see him on there. I just disregarded it. But Norman
crazy.
Powell and Chet, instead of OG and... Bridges.
There's also other
is
players.
A bit
but
crazy.
Also a team is never going to get four players in the All-Star game.
I don't think they should get four, but I'm saying that they could get a third, and it could be
also
Keontae
Norman George
Powell
should be an All-Star
Chet.
Too. I really like Keontae George.
Yeah, the producer just said
but that was also a decade ago, and I feel like times have changed where it's like no way the NBA is going to let five. Especially with the media, the way media has evolved and changed, there's zero, especially the Knicks. The Knicks are probably one of the most hated franchises in the NBA media. There's no way they're getting...
You think so?
In the media? In the fans? Yeah. The media?
I think
you're lying.
I think the Knicks had five guys in the top 15 in fan voting, by the way. all five of the stars were in the top 15 in fan voting.
Yeah,
but somehow only two of them made the All-Star game.
Because a lot of the voting does not, like, they're, yeah, it's that 50%, but the other 50% is other groups.
The media and the players are partly the reason why the Knicks didn't get more than two.
You think, I can't believe you think the Knicks are hated.
The Knicks are loved in the media.
This Knicks team this year is better than last year's Cavs team, and the Cavs managed to get three guys in there compared to the Knicks only
getting
two.
Were you watching ESPN during Pascal Siakam versus the Knicks. The Pacers Knicks series.
Also, Pascal Siakam's also not being All-Star. I just remembered he's on there too.
That I don't agree
with. The Pacers are dead last.
But that doesn't matter.
I think Con Knipple should have made the All-Star game where Pascal Siakam.
But you just made that argument about Jokic being MVP is about. Oh, it's a team sport, not the...
Bradley.
I know, because the thing is, LaMelo Ball didn't make it last year when the Hornets were absolute trash, and now Pascal Siakam makes it when the Pacers are worse than last year's Hornets team. So I think when it comes to the voting, last year they cared about record, but this year they don't. So I think that's why if you're maintaining consistency, Colin Knipple should be there over Pascal.
No. But Colin Knipple can't be. He's a rookie.
And
so...
Is he not?
Rookies aren't allowed. Oh wait, yes. Pascal's also
gotta be.
No, my bad. Pascal's also international. Yeah, my bad. I forgot about that. I think it was.
That's why it's weird because like, why are we doing it based off of?
Weird. I think if it was normal East and West, I'd probably would. If I had a vote, I'd take Con Knipple.
Pascal. I think having the world aspect number one, it brings like. Kind of like coverage to international fans, and it also would be so difficult to just have like two East and West teams because there's so many players, and then we like
but I miss
so
the
many
old format. I
but
just
that's
miss
why, like,
that.
I just feel like All Star is the best of the best. Like, it's getting thrown around a little bit.
Like the All Star game last year was
players in the East and the best players in the West.
I think it would just cause a lot of like just arguments about this 100%. Because there's so many good players like this. I'm looking at both USA teams, I'm looking at the world's team, so many good players having to cut like basically the entirety of one team if we're thinking about it like that would cause a lot of commotion.
You can just make 12 East 12 West players you can make it positionless, just
also,
the 12 best players in each conference.
You can make it 14. Like, it is an All-Star game. They don't really want to play that much. Mm-hmm. Like, make them a little bit bigger.
14 per conference?
Why not? If you're going to, like...
That's a lot.
But think about it. There's 18 for the U.S.
And All-Star is supposed to be, like, an honor. Like, that's supposed to be an honor. I don't think 28 guys should get that title. I think
But Izzy thinks that...
I think it should be, 9 or 10 players per conference. I think 10... should be the cap per conference.
I agree with you, but I'm appealing to Izzy's Izzy's issue here. If she wants, I would extend it to 14 if you think that they're
so
more.
You think the top 28 players in the NBA should get the honor of being called an All-Star instead of the top 20 players? I think 20
No,
is a
I
lot.
Think that it's thrown around. I think it's not as hard as it should be.
It should be harder. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think it should be 9 or 10.
Yes, but they're going to get they're overloaded.
Because then, creates, interesting narratives like, oh, this guy, an expansion, format made it over X, Y, and Z guy. So.
I think they're trying to be inclusive.
And I don't like
which
that.
Which is like,
sorry.
It's, I see both sides. Like, I see wanting to make it inclusive, wanting to include, so many different types of players, even if their teams are not like how we were talking about Pascal Siakam. Like, the Pacers, not good. But like, he is a great player.
I think everyone feels really bad.
Honestly, yeah, but they're tanking.
I feel so bad for the
if you were if this was supposed to be the 10 best players in each conference, Pascal Siakam wouldn't be an All-Star. Neither would Norman Powell or Jalen Duren.
But is Kat?
No, I'll say Kat.
Wow, I didn't think that you were gonna concede.
No, I think if it was supposed to be the top 10 players in each conference in the East, it'd be obviously Brunson, Brown, Maxey, Cade, Giannis, obviously.
Yes.
Who else?
I'm looking.
Anthony Edwards.
I'm just talking about East for now. Because we mentioned Kat.
Let's make our teams for East and West.
Wait, 10. Yeah, let's do that, guys.
Okay,
let's draft.
So, Jalen, squared.
Jalen Johnson, you said?
No, Brown and Brunson.
Oh, yeah.
Jalen squared is fire. I love that. Definitely Jalen Brown. He's such a dog. I love him.
Dude, Jalen Brown this season is... I can't thank him enough.
I think he's only performing this well because there's no Tatum. And I think you can admit that. If Tatum was there.
I agree. I think he has something to prove.
So you think Tatum and Brown could both average 30 points next year when Tatum comes back?
I do. Honestly, like, I don't know if that's a crazy take, but I do. I do think it's possible. No,
because Jalen saw that he can carry this team kind of without Tatum, I think it's really going to help his confidence that when JT is back, he's like, I'm as good as you. Like I'm going to prove it. And Jason Tatum is my favorite player of all time. Like, Izzy knows how much I talk about JT. That is my guy. JT. I love that guy. And it's been a very hard few months. But, yeah, I'm so excited to see this, like, ruthless Jaylen Brown with JT. I just hope everything goes smoothly when JT comes back and everyone can stay and be happy.
I also just think it's very hard in today's NBA to have two players average 30, especially two ball dominant guys like Tatum and Brown. I think it's very hard. Like, Brunson and Kat don't even average 30 together. Brunson doesn't even average 30, only averages 28. I think Tatum will average 30 when he comes back, but I just don't see Brown averaging 28.
Oh, God, I miss him so
much. I do. Honestly, I think Jaylen Brown has truly
I think Brown can average 25 plus, but 30 is, like, that's a different
threat. I just think that JB was, like, needed to see that, like, because of so much, because, you know, Jason Tatum, in my bias and humble opinion, is generational.
Yes,
he is truly one of the greatest. And I think with all them, they got there at the same time, basically 1 year difference. I think with all the media attention that Jason Tatum deservedly gets, I do think that it gets swept under the rug how good JB actually is. 100%. And also with the fans they adore them both, but the fans adore Tatum. Like,
it's like a different level.
It's
like
a different level. And, you know, Jaylen Brown was booed when he got drafted there, and, you know, is not always been super comfortable, and he has a little bit been under JT's shadow. And so I think with Jason Tatum being out, he's really gotten to prove himself that he can make this his team, and that next year it's not gonna be Jason Tatum's team, it's gonna be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's team. And I think that's what he wants. I mean, like, true fans, it always was like that for me. Like, they were on par, but to the media, it's Jason Tatum's team. Like, Jason Tatum
and
is
last
that
year
guy.
I thought it was Tatum's team too.
Yeah,
like the entire season, especially in the playoffs, that was Tatum's team. I think until they met the Knicks in the second round, like the games 1 and 2, that was when it's like, you know, Tatum wasn't really performing.
You know, I was at game 2. It was horrible.
You were at game 2?
Yeah. Oh my,
games 1 or 2 were two of, like, the happiest days of my life as a Knicks fan.
Oh my gosh.
And I've watched a lot of Poverty Years as a Knicks fan. Yeah. Those two games, like, just
I saw them blow that 20-point lead right, and I was right behind the
Which
basket.
One? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly.
No, but in all seriousness, I think with the Celtics getting, you know, they still have offensive weapons. They still have a good team.
We have a great team.
It's pretty
good. I guess a great team. I'll say Celtics have a great team.
We could have a really good
team. I think because the Celtics have such a great team, it's going to be hard for two guys to be able to average 30. Like, the Knicks right now have a fantastic team, but two guys aren't averaging 30 points. I think it's going to be the same thing with the Celtics. You have so many offensive weapons. You have such a great team. It's going to be hard for two guys to average 30 without other players' production going down. And I just don't think Derek White's production is going to be going down. When, you know,
what do you think, Maggie, Celtics fan?
I'm just very interested to see it. Because, like, also, it's not the same team JT left. You know, it's not. There's no Drew. There's no KP. There's no Al Horford, who was kind of like his vet, like his keeping him calm in those moments. So we'll see. I hope it's seamless is my biggest thing, because, like, with Jaylen Brown being this, like, it just, you know how the NBA is. Like, I just hope that they can just coexist in this dominant, like, to just have two superstars that dominant is not always easy. So I just hope that he can come in seamlessly. I hope he doesn't rush. It doesn't seem like he is. If you asked me when he first got hurt, I wanted him to be back as soon as possible. I don't think that that's needed right now.
It's not.
There's no rush. I think that he's also kind of slowed down his, like, desire. Not desire. That's wrong. Like, anticipation.
Yes,
like,
that's a
great
word.
He's now, like,
say.
Let's do it right. Like, he said, he used to be like, I want to be back as soon as possible. He said a few days ago after he played with the Maine Celtics for a while, he was like, you know, this isn't an indication that I'm coming back. This is an indication that I'm not. This is an indication of, like, this is where I am in my progress, mm-hmm. and I'm going to take it step by step.
Let's, like, see where
where
he's at. I think, personally, if the Celtics are top two seed, team should absolutely, if he can come back for the playoffs,
I agree.
He absolutely should.
100%. Because, I mean, you're always going to be better team with Jason Tatum. Like, it's, like, not, like,
I think
if it's not a downgrade. If you can have him, why not?
Exactly. I think if the Celtics go down 2-0 in a series, or if it's like 3-1, then I would probably say rest Tatum, because
mm-hmm. yeah.
coming back from down 2-0 or 3-1
but give
hard.
Him a shot.
But if it's like a 3-2 series and you're up or down one game, Tatum, if he can play, absolutely should. And I did want to throw out this nugget out there. The last time that two teammates both averaged 30 points was in the 1962 season, where Will Chamberlain and Paul Arizin both...
I was not expecting that.
Average.
That was a mythical pull.
1962 and 2026.
But it's saying that the statistics for Paul Arizin could be made up, so don't take that with a grain of salt. But the last time two teammates got close was 2003, where Kobe averaged 30 and Shaq averaged 28. So that was the closest two teammates have come to average 30, so...
If you gave me like 20 minutes to think about it and like guess what two players in the last, that's who I would guess probably.
Yeah, I feel like that's reasonable.
And they didn't
like,
even do it. Kobe Shaq didn't even do it, so you're putting a huge expectation on.
I think it's possible. Do I think it's like, you know, like a shoe-in to happen? No, but I do think because they are such great players individually and together, like the way that they play together, that's. Honestly, like, as someone who's not even a Celtics fan, like, I love seeing JT and JP play together. It's like magic.
I think it's more possible next season than it was last year because they had so many weapons last year. And they have less, this is no knock on the Celtics, but they have less of those weapons going into next year. So I think it'll be easier. Do I think it'll happen? No. But I definitely think it's possible.
Jay's era part two. Can't wait. Dream about it.
J squared.
You know, it's the Jays, the Jays era. That's the like Jays. What we call it.
Gosh, it must be awesome to like be a fan of a team that like doesn't choke constantly.
It is.
Let's lock in Chicago. I think that's going to do it for Pick and Pod this afternoon. We've covered a lot. Interesting weekend upcoming. I'm going to watch that. Not going to watch the dunk contest, though, because we are dunk, not haters, but, you know.
It's not what it used to be.
We're not enthusiasts of the dunk contest.
We just need known players to do it, you know?
Yeah.
Where's Mac McClung?
I said NBA players, not two-way players. You know, juniors.
Yeah, but still, like, he's a familiar face, I guess. Like I said, that's going to do it for Pick and Pod. I've been Izzy Randazzo, joined by co-hosts Maggie Danahy and Bradley Byrne. Our producer was Travis Hayden. Our sports director is Bobby Charfredini. And Pick and Pod is a production of WFUV Sports.